Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast. Brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Chuck Arfine here, and 13 of the White Sox top American-born prospects are in the Dominican Republic this week on a cultural trip put together by the White Sox, exposing them to the culture that many of their Latin teammates like Eloy Jimenez and Ronaldo Lopez grew up in. They're being given a firsthand look at how their Dominican culture shaped them and what it took for them to eventually reach the United States and assimilate in the United States. Ryan McGuffey and Mac Buckman from NBC Sports Chicago are in the Dominican Republic documenting this incredible and quite progressive trip. And Guff is on the phone with us. Guff, it's our first international phone call on the White Sox Talk Podcast. I never thought it would be you on the other end of the line.
Hey, you know, there's Marco Patti and then there's me. So I'm scouting it. I'm on the poolside right now. I'm scouting. I don't see any top prospects as we speak, but or any future possible prospects. But yeah, I'm just amazed that we're able to do it.
All right, so give everyone, if you have not heard who is on this trip, what White Sox prospects, there's 13 of them, you don't have to name them all, but give people an idea of who is there from the White Sox farm system.
So I'll count Eloy Jimenez, even though he's technically not on the list, he wasn't required to be here, but he's here. Nick Madrigal, Zach Collins, Sebi Zavala, Gavin Sheets, Blake Rutherford, Dane Dunning, Dylan Cease, Zach Birdie, Tyler Johnson, Jimmy Lambert, and I know I'm missing a couple. And, I tried to do that, like, verbatim, and I got pretty good, 11. That was 11 names right there.
So okay.
There's a couple others, obviously, that I'm missing. And Bernardo Flores. But, yeah, I have some big names that we're all grown accustomed to following and watching, and they're all here under one umbrella in this case.
And this would have been normally the hitter's camp they have at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, but the White Sox decided, let's have this hitting camp instead be in the Dominican Republic to kind of give them, to open their eyes to what a lot of their teammates who are born in, if not Dominican Republic, it's Cuba, Venezuela, where they started from. So this is also new to your eyes as well. What are you seeing? What are you witnessing that's happening with these White Sox prospects? What are they experiencing being in the Dominican Republic?
You know, I think what you just said about eye-opening, and I think all of their eyes have been opened in a way, like you take baseball out of it for a second, and you talk about the human being and the character and the culture that the White Sox are building the last couple of years. And, you know, these guys are getting an understanding. It's right in front of their eyes as to, okay, like maybe my old glove, and when I say old, like 18 months old, doesn't need to be replaced because this guy had to sell cows in order to have a glove because he was using a milk carton. The White Sox facility here in the Dominican Republic has some dorms available for some players that are here year-round that are a significant upgrade to what they are currently, their current living situation is like. And they did, we had a tour of the facility the first day we got here, and we were walking through, and some of the players were like, wow, like this is where they stay. And Laz Rivera, who I failed to mention, is part of this group. Laz came down for a few weeks a couple of years ago and was like, yeah, I've actually stayed here. It's not as bad as you think. And again, perspective, right? I mean, some of these guys have been playing travel baseball their whole lives and gone to big-time universities and have played internationally for Team USA under, you know, 18 team in Cuba and Mexico. And they just kind of take it for granted, so to speak. And that's exactly why Chris Getz put this trip together. He said it's been a couple of years in the making, but the timing is what felt right with this particular group as to where they are in their development and how close to some of these guys are. And you mentioned Eloy Jimenez. He's had fun kind of at their expense, you know, welcoming them off the bus, kind of saying, you know, like, welcome to my house and, you know, how are my shoes? You're wearing my shoes, so to speak. And I mean, they have, you know, Eloy is such a magnet in terms of people gravitating towards him, not just his talent, but he's fun, he's personable, you know this. And, you know, I think Eloy, there's an appreciation on both sides of it. Some of these guys that are in the Dominican year-round, you know, they're kind of all pulling from the same rope from an organization standpoint. But to see the organization here in the flesh, I think gives them a little bit more incentive when the White Sox leave here on Friday.
Yeah, Eloy has spoken about the barriers, the language barrier that he and so many of these Latin players have if they don't know the language when they come to the United States and how intimidating it is. And also talking with the media, et cetera. And I know these guys are a little bit in a cocoon to a certain extent because they're around a lot of English-speaking and bilingual players or people. But are they at least seeing what it's like to be them, the Latin players, going to a country where they don't speak the language? Because I know a lot of these American prospects don't speak a lot of Spanish.
Yeah, and, you know, we're staying in a place outside, it's called Juan Dolio. We're staying at a resort, so it's an all-inclusive resort. So it's not like we're staying, you know, in some kind of slums or anything. But it's most of the people that are here are from Eastern Europe or French, you know, the French Canadian or something like that. There's not a lot of Americans on our property, so including the workers at the staff here, there's some workers that have only spoke Spanish, including our bus driver. He only speaks Spanish, so the players have had to rely on natives in this case to order food, to put stuff on the bus, to ask where the bathroom is. And part of that was to put some of these guys out of their comfort zone, because you take it for granted that Eloy Jimenez comes to the United States and he's thrown in the middle of, you know, Kinseltown, USA, playing for a single-A affiliate. And you just assume, okay, well, you'll just acclimate and you'll get to know how we do things here. And it's just not that easy. I mean, think about a guy that's born and raised in California playing in Winston-Salem, and you're like, okay, yeah, he's far from home. Well, you come down here and realize how far from home these guys are, and comfort zones and family and friends and familiarity. And that's been the one glaring takeaway from all of these guys and talking to them, is that their first thing they want to tell you is how great this cultural experience is, because there's just it's a step back moment, really. You get down here and it's like, okay, now I can actually talk to Eloy Jimenez and we can discuss, oh yeah, like I do understand. I know what you're talking about now. It's not just something we can bring up over pizza in Charlotte or in Chicago and New York. I mean, this is real life stuff and these guys are feeling and living it here, at least for 1 week. And I think that was the whole idea with Chris Getz. These guys have done a lot of bonding and a lot of significant things together, but this is a different experience and an opportunity to really build it. You see, and Chris talked about this, the divide in the clubhouse a lot of times, even in winning clubhouses where, you know, it's the Latin players and the American players. And hopefully things like this can kind of cut that, you know, stop those divides and bring people closer together, because there's an understanding now.
Yeah, Getz had an interesting quote that I read. He said, being around some of the best teams in baseball, the reasons why some teams are successful and some are not is really just the team coming together with a diverse cultural background. And I think that plays into it as well, kind of what you were saying. That's part of the reason why they're doing this. It's so forward thinking by the White Sox. They're not just assembling the best talent. They're trying to build a team. They're trying to build an organization that's going to play together, pull from the same rope with each other, and understand one another.
Yeah, and you know, we can sit here and talk about the talent. We all know the people listening to this podcast understand the type of talent the White Sox have assembled the last couple of years and acquired the last couple of years. But it's not just about talent. You know, in 2019, it's not always about talent. Talent trumps everything, but the character and the development of these guys as human beings and people, that is something that the White Sox are trying to establish now. So when they do get to Chicago, it's just normal. Everything is normal because these guys have been covered from the ground. I mean, look, Zach Collins, and you're exactly like me and some of these guys. You've really gotten to know for a couple of years now, like from draft day on. And it's just a different process that the White Sox have allowed to happen with these guys all getting together, and they cheer for each other. They root for each other. When we get back from the facility after a three-hour workout, they're free to do whatever they want. There's no mandatory anything. They don't have to have dinner together. Outside of, you know, we're doing a couple activities, went to a baseball game, we're doing an orphanage later today. They don't have to do anything. And every day, they beach volleyball, like the most intense beach volleyball as you can imagine. they eat together. They hang out together. And it's not just like five guys. It's 13 prospects all here, like staying in different rooms, coming together going, what are we doing? Where are we going? Are we getting coffee? It's all together, all is one, pulling from the same rope, regardless of who's going to be in the majors next year, or who's going to be in AAA or AA or single A. It's a pretty incredible thing. I mean, I know this has happened, international trips have happened in big leagues, but this to me is unique because I think this group is unique, and we've talked about it for a long time.
Who's good at beach volleyball?
Whew. Oh, yeah, I forgot, Steele Walker's here too. That guy's a personality.
Yeah.
Who's good? You know who's good? Dane Dunning.
Dane Dunning.
Really good. Dane Dunning's really good. And as a matter of fact, I'm just trying to think who was walking by me a couple days ago, and they just walked by and kind of shook their head. I'm like, what happened? They're like, Dunning, man. Dunning's freaking good.
Well, he grew up in Florida. He's had a lot of time to play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's just the competitiveness, though, comes out. We were filming a little bit of one game the other day, and you just, I mean, they're asking for people that are, you know, in beach chairs. Hey, was that out? Was that out? Was that out? And it's just funny, the competitiveness and the will and the want to win a meaningless beach volleyball game. But last night they played, and there was about a 10-minute downpour, and they played through it and went to this, like, epic 25-24, you know, game point thing. So, but that the whole point of this is that these guys love to be together 24-7 on things like this. And, you know, that started from the ground up with Chris Getz and the White Sox organization kind of mandating and making this a part of the plan in terms of the rebuild.
A couple nights ago, you all went to a winter league game down there in the DR, and it looks like it's like a combination of a baseball game, a rock concert, and New Year's Eve all wrapped into one. How would you describe the game, and what was the reaction by the White Sox prospects who were experiencing that for the first time?
You nailed it. I mean, I've always wondered if it was like, I always wondered if it was as cool as it looked on TV. I'm like, there's no way that this is that cool. Like, the fans are that into it. And then you go, and you're like, oh, okay, they're selling flags outside the game. Dylan Cease bought a flag and wanted to wave it around. I mean, and it's funny, as the game went on, it was kind of like a Dodgers crowd. You know, the crowd trickles in throughout the game. So by like the third inning, you're like, okay, this thing's starting to get so full. By the fifth inning, it was full, and it was loud. I mean, you're talking about 1-0 counts, and the fans are going crazy because they know the importance of the out. You're talking about a fan base, visiting team's fan base, just as loud as the home teams. And it's like and the walk-up songs are just so ridiculously loud. You think it's annoying at first, and then you're like, oh, my God, this is great. The one thing that all these guys said was, I wish American baseball was like this. I wish, Steele Walker said, it needs to be more of a show than it currently is. And hopefully at some point we can bring some of this to the big leagues. And maybe not quite that progressive, but maybe a happy medium, as I was talking about, because they were talking like, in between pitches, the walk-up songs that continue to blast them. And it's a show. In between innings, there's dancers that come out on the field and do like choreography to a lot of music, and the fans went crazy. And the bottom of the fifth inning, the lights went out, and it was 4-1. I can't remember. The visiting team was winning 4-1, and I immediately looked around and I said, this feels like it could be on purpose. And a couple of people were like, you know what? That might be true. And come to find out, it was.
What do you mean, on purpose?
We actually, yeah, the lights, the accident of the lights going out was a planned event because they were getting dominated by the Cuban Mark Burley, the guy even wore number 56. He was even wearing number 56. And they tried to slow him down and mix him up. And we ended up leaving in that fifth inning. And we got back to the hotel, and the game was on TV. And I don't think one fan left. And when the lights went out, you know, the lights had gone out at Guaranteed Rate before. And it's more of like a panic and a silence and like, oh, my gosh, what do we do? The lights went out here, and it was like the club opened. All the dancers basically took the field. The DJ started. No one left. And we were like, this is unbelievable.
All right, I'm going next winter. I'm just going to go on vacation to the DR to go watch a winter baseball game. I can't wait.
You should.
All right. And then, you know, yesterday, I can't wait to see some of this footage. Yesterday, you guys went with Ronaldo Lopez to his grandparents' house, and there's a story behind that. Can you explain why you went there and what you saw?
Yeah, so Ronaldo's from nearby San Pedro de Marquise, which is about 20 minutes away. From the White Sox, from the hotel we're currently staying in. And last year, if you remember, we did a story with Ronaldo, and he discussed, you know, he's very close to his grandparents, and when he was a young boy, he had a milk carton for a glove, and he loved baseball, and his grandfather had seen enough and took him out one day and had to sell two of their family cows, La Morena and Pamela, for him to have his first real glove, first bat, first, like, spikes, and kind of first baseball bag. And so yesterday, Ronaldo, we went to Ronaldo's current home, and his grandparents were there, and they were so incredibly gracious and so happy, so camera-friendly. And the way they told the story, as you can imagine, was fun and entertaining. And the grandma, you know, talked about her disgust at the time, and the grandfather just kind of laughed. But then we got in a car and drove another 20 minutes. Ronaldo led the way, and we had a camera in the car with Ronaldo, and we showed up to this, what we were told was a farm. It was really kind of like a village of people that live within a farm. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've said this a few times, like, you want to talk about perspective, and not just perspective for players. I'm talking about a perspective on your own life. You know, the things you think that are so detrimental, or, you know, you walk by into your bathroom and you're like, you know, I think we're going to rehab this bathroom. And then you just have that in the back of your mind and you're like, this needs to be done. It's so important. Walk through the house. And this is the thing. His grandfather still lives there. His grandfather's one of those old school guys. That's his house. He doesn't want to be taken out of his house. 2 days a week he stays with Ronaldo, and then he'll go back to his house and stay there in the house that Ronaldo was raised in. You're talking about beds that have, there's a mosquito net over the bed of his grandparents. There's like a tin roof on the outside with no insulation or anything. There's one generator that kind of powers everything. They had two cows on the property, a lot of strays, kids within the property. Ronaldo walked us through the farm that they used to grow everything from potatoes to plantains. They had fish in this pond. And it was farm to eat. So everything that they grew, they were turning around and making for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we went to the Little League field within the exact same village, the field that he basically grew up on. And we showed up, and there's probably 70 kids, 50 of which are playing baseball. Not really organized, but there was a group in the outfield shagging and a pitcher on the mound with an L screen and rotations of three that were hitting, no catcher. Balls were flying into people's homes. And it was just an incredible, eye-opening experience. And I think it's going to be one that White Sox fans will appreciate and love, too, because it's going to be something that, together with the White Sox, that we will collectively put out, because it's just really powerful. Gives you when Ronaldo Lopez gives up five earned in the fourth inning or something, and you want to, you know, be upset about it, take a step back and think about how far this guy came. Because I'm telling you, in that village, I felt far away from home. Think about how far the major leagues feel from those villages. I mean, absolutely incredible. Ronaldo was gracious with his time, walked us through his high school. And I have a different kind of rooting interest for Ronaldo Lopez now than I did before yesterday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and it's funny because a guy like Lopez, being in a big city like Chicago, I would think to some degree would be easier. He doesn't know a lot of English. But I'm trying to imagine him the first time he comes to the United States, and he's playing in small towns where there's very little Spanish speaking. And I mean, I don't know what some of the towns he played in, but if he was like in Missoula, Montana, for instance, you know, or Eugene, Oregon, you know, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough for us to even think about comprehending that too, because it's just, you know, we're just like, oh, okay, Missoula, Montana. What's so tough? He plays baseball. Well, let me tell you something. When every day, you know, you don't have anything, possibly food, water, electricity, all the things that we take for granted. You know, you get mad at the rising price, your cell phone bill or something, and then you go into this village and you're just like, you dumb it all the way down and see what makes a kid smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, I certainly have a huge takeaway from that. And I know, I'm telling you, it's going to translate across the board. And, you know, the other thing that was funny, you know, culturally, when you're in other countries, and you know this, sometimes when people offer things multiple times, you keep saying no. It's almost a sign of disrespect. And we were offered juice, water or juice, like three times in Ronaldo's home, and we kept saying no. And on the third time, I kind of was like, you know, I think we should say yes.
Yes, you got to say yes.
Yeah. And so we wanted to get some footage of them playing, like just being together as a family. And that's when Ronaldo was like, do you play dominoes? And I was like, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I can play dominoes. And I looked around and was like, you know, play dominoes? I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm game. So they set up a table in the front yard with chairs and everything for everyone. And Ronaldo looked at me and he goes, mi abuelo is my enemy. He's like, me and my grandfather have played this for years. He's like, he's my enemy. So I sat across from Ronaldo, and his grandparents sat each side of me, and I played dominoes with the Lopez family at the Lopez residence in the Dominican Republic. I did not win. I came close three different times. I got down to one domino. I never won, and I'm kind of glad I didn't because it was intense, but it was that's an experience, you know? It's an absolute experience, and it was a cultural experience. It was fun, and I'm glad I did it because I just felt like we can't keep saying no. We got to hop on board with this.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. Now, today, you guys are going to an orphanage. You touched on it. What, I know you haven't been there yet, obviously, but what do you know about this, and are the players coming too?
Players are going. I don't know much about it, but I do know this. They went to a camp yesterday with about 50 to 60 kids, and they broke them up into two baseball. There was like two full baseball games going on. And we were not at this camp because we went to Ronaldo's residence, but we gave him the camera to take around, and we talked to. I talked to some of the guys, and they're like, "Here's how we camp," because they were gone. We got home like 5:30 last night or so, and they weren't back yet. I'm like, "Oh man, I wonder how they're going to take this." And they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And Getz talked about it today about the impression that basically the manager of their little league organization spoke beforehand and talked about the impact that the White Sox have made by that trip. And he said something about the impact that you'll make is going to last a lot longer than the time you'll be here today. Mm-hmm. And you guys have no idea what it means to these kids to see real people that have come to take time and spend time with them and how they're going to talk about this to carry it on for the next, you know, is it days, weeks, months, some into the years. So it's stuff like that. I feel like we're going to get the same kind of impact at this organization we're going to go to. A lot of interaction with kids, you know, a lot of perspective, and just a lot. I'm assuming we're going to see smiles on both sides, those who are impacted by the visitors and those who are impacted by the visit. I think you're going to see it both ways, which was pretty much the theme of the week.
Got a personal story. I know you touched on your Ronaldo Lopez domino story, but is there anything else you can share that's stuck with you and will remain with you even after the trip has concluded?
I mean, certainly the baseball game is going to be one of them. All sat together during the game. We kind of snuck some mics in to be able to do some filming in the game. And just talking to these guys, you know, off camera, just, you know, shooting the bull. And kind of having that experience together and knowing that these guys, you know, are seeing things for the first time too, it just kind of sticks out to me. I love being able to take an experience when you're kind of doing it as a whole. When I could take a step back and I could see 10 guys getting an experience, something they didn't expect, and I can actually take a step back and see it in the moment and then actually reflect on it later, that's probably going to be the biggest takeaway for me. It's just to see the impact the organization has made on the players that they have, and the players that have never met before, and then the kids that are down here, you know, that have little to nothing, and to see how much they're impacted by just the absolute small things, like a hug or hello. You know, those are the things that, like, if I take anything back, it's going to be appreciation, a lot more appreciation for what I have and the things I have and the health I have and all the things that we take for granted literally on a daily basis that we think are important or we think are worth complaining about. That to me is the biggest takeaway.
Okay, well, if you follow White Sox Talk on Twitter or me or Ryan, you can see some of the stuff that has come out. But for those listening, how in the coming days when you return, you guys are coming back tomorrow, Friday, what can people see and how can they see it?
I would say download the My Teams app for sure. That is absolutely a way to do that. Download the My Teams app at the App Store. It's easy, it's user-friendly. Select the White Sox when you're selecting your favorite teams. And any video, photos, content, written content that comes out of this is going to be in the app, NBCSportsChicago.com. It's certainly going to be a hub for a lot of this stuff. Obviously, Chuck mentioned the Twitter accounts. And then we haven't discussed exactly yet all of this stuff. This is one of those things that, you know, when you're accumulating so much stuff and you're on the fly, you're going, wow, this is bigger than I thought it was. This is bigger than I thought it was. I think you're going to see some digital series come out of this that lead to a TV show as well. So there's going to be a lot of ways to see all of the things that we've put together. We're going to put out a small Eloy Jimenez clip later today, a little tease here, that's going to ignite White Sox fans about his thoughts on what's coming as a group and it's not a jab at the Cubs, but if you're a Cubs fan, it's going to hurt a little bit. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, I know that you're with Matt Buckman, who is our photographer here, and he's a Cubs fan, and it's painful for him to witness firsthand the Eloy and Dylan Cease combo and what they are going to be bringing potentially for the White Sox in the years ahead.
Yeah, I think that the most painful thing for him is how easy and fun these guys are.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, you know, if he hated the idea of the trade, that Dylan Cease was a jerk, you know, or Eloy Jimenez was unapproachable, then it would make it a little easier to swallow. But when you see the complete opposite of that, and he's like, God, I want to root for these guys. And I'm like, you can. It's great. You should. And I think, I wouldn't say he's having a difficult time, but it's just making him, you know, his throat hurts a little bit when he swallows.
Yeah, I bet. Well, if you're listening to this podcast on your phone, I highly recommend going to the App Store. Just do a search for My Teams, and you can download the NBC Sports Chicago My Teams app, and you just have your favorite Chicago teams, put the White Sox in there, and then all of our content, or certainly the best of our content, will be there and right at your fingertips. So a lot of Ryan's stuff will be there, and all you can get our podcast there, all of our written stuff, so go to the My Teams app and do it. So, Guff, this has been great. Looking forward to all the stuff you're going to be bringing home, and we'll be, I guess, back on Machado watch when you return.
Oh, my God. You know what I hope? I hope you text me at some point in the next few days and say the press conference is at this time on this day. That's the next information I want, because it has become ridiculously nauseating. I know it has for you. It has for fans. But I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
Well, we'll see. I thought I'd talk to you about it on the podcast, but you know what? Let's just wait. We got plenty of time, I think, to talk about this more. Hopefully not. Hopefully it wraps up in the next few days and we don't have to do it anymore.
When I'm in studio next week, there's a real good opportunity to talk Machado, I feel like. So, a lot of the stuff's going to be played out as we lead up into Sox Fest next week. It should be an exciting weekend at Sox Fest, and a lot of these guys are going to be there and maybe even have a different, you know, more of an appreciation for the week as they allow themselves some time to reflect on it over the course of the next few days.
Okay, awesome. Guff, safe travels back. Get a few more rays for all of us here in cold, snowy Chicago. The cold will be waiting for you when you return, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, it sounds like the only way we're getting Harper is by a storm, it sounds like, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, a storm. The Harper storm will lead him to Chicago. All right, and this has been the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, it's all yours.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.